And a great deal of resentment is felt by aristocracy about precisely this, about being left out of the new economic dynamics of the period. Moreover, the financial pressures of the absolute estate led to periodic efforts on the part of the crown to tax aristocracy or to whittle away their traditional privileges, and this aristocracy was not going to have. The social position of aristocracy was based on heredity, on privilege, on blood. One had simply to have the right lineage. It didn't matter if you were the most educated, the most financially successful, the most cultivated commoner in the world. When it came to sit at any sort of formal gathering as a commoner, you were back in the back, and the most ignorant, drunken, excessive personality, as long as he had the right blood by tradition and so on, would be seated ahead of you. The privileges of aristocracy were quite simple, and they were extremely important. They were immune to taxation, exempt for the most part from taxation by the absolute estate. This had been part of the bargain that they had struck. There's an implicit bargain that is struck in the 17th century between aristocracy and monarchy, in which aristocracy gives up its political independence for the crown's recognition of certain social and economic privileges. Tax exemption was one of the key ones. They also demanded preferential treatment in the selection of government posts and, of course, for positions in the officer corps. Access to aristocracy was most open in England. In France, the economic problems of the monarchy had led to an opening of aristocracy in a very unfortunate way. At least many aristocrats felt this was to be the case. Louis XIV had begun the practice, and it was continued, in fact inflated beyond belief, of selling patents of nobility. Virtually all things were for sale in 18th century France. The venality of offices, this was one of the great problems of the monarchy. And it tended, you could buy positions, you could buy it for yourself, but your heirs would not inherit this title position. This led to great dissatisfaction, both on the part of aristocracy, but also from those wealthy bourgeois who had bought positions and then saw their social prestige not elevated by that. In Germany and Austria, the aristocracy was probably the most exclusive, where there was very little intermarriage, very little chance for social mobility through the estates. In the 18th century, the real action, as it were, the real source of dynamism was not to be found in the titled aristocracy. It was to be found in this middle rank of society. People of a middling sort, commoners, the bourgeoisie, the people who would ultimately become the middle class of the 19th century. This group was largely urban. I say urban, but we're really talking towns, not cities. Cut off from the peasants of the countryside, were certainly very snobbish about their relationships to peasants, desirous of recognition by aristocracy. The towns were usually governed by some sort of local patriciate made up of a mercantile elite, people engaged in commerce and in nascent manufacturing. The privileges of this middle rank of society were also quite important. They were exempt from military service. The armies of the 18th century were largely armies with an aristocratic officer corps and a peasant rank and file. The job of this middle rank of society was to pay taxes and keep the coffers of the monarchy full. Economic changes in the 18th century would have a profound impact on the social and political position of this rank, this estate, particularly in Western Europe. For one thing, there was dramatic growth in population, which increased by about three-fifths between 1700 and 1800, from approximately 120 million to 190 million. And indeed, half or two-thirds of that growth would come after 1750. The causes for this sudden burst or expansion of population was a falling death rate, due to the retreat of the plague